Mission Chats with John Crowe.
Welcome back to Mission Chats. As always, it's a joy to share the story of a person and the ministry they're involved with through this podcast. And today I have another unique privilege of bringing to you someone who oversees a ministry that I have not been familiar with prior to a little bit of back and forth preparing for this podcast. So I am excited to introduce you to Dustin Manis, who's the president and CEO of an organization called Reaching Souls International. So Dustin, welcome to this podcast. And as we usually do, I'm just going to hand it over to you and invite you to share with us your story, how the Lord brought you to faith and how he's brought you to this point.
Good to be with you. Thanks for having me on. I was raised in a godly home, Christian parents. I'm very grateful for. They're both still living. But man, I carried a selfish and rebellious heart all through my upbringing. My parents' beliefs were not my beliefs.
Okay.
And until I was 18 years old.
Wow.
And so when I was 18, I placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of my life. And I would say really turned my life around completely when I was 20.
Okay.
And took my first trip to Africa when I was 21.
All right.
And of course, that helped, you know, change the whole dynamic and course of my life, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
That's 0 to 21, you know,
right.
In about 30 seconds. Okay.
Yeah.
To know who I am and what God's done in my life, let me kind of fast forward. So 55 years old, been married to my wife, Michelle, for 30 plus years.
Awesome.
We have 4 grown children, the oldest of which is waiting for us in heaven.
Mm.
And he went to be with the Lord and started walking the streets of gold in 2016 when he was 22 years old.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of bad things that can happen to people. But normally when you're a parent and you think of, man, what's the worst thing that could happen to losing your child's right up there? At least that's what people tell me. And I'd say from my own experience, you know, I haven't been through everything.
Right.
But what I've been through, it's pretty awful, you know, and so no matter how bad you think it is, it's probably worse than that. And there you are.
Yeah.
And so I only bring that up to say that whoever's listening and whatever hard things you've gone through, I haven't lived your life and you haven't lived my life, but I do know what it's like to be living a life that doesn't look like what I thought it was going to look like.
Right.
Okay. And to take a hit that knocked me down that I wasn't sure I was going to be able to stand back up.
Right.
Okay. And without the Lord, there's absolutely no way that I would.
Mm.
You know, life in real time is a mess, you know, for sure. You get down the road a little bit, you look back and you see God's hand and how he brought you through. And that's definitely been true in my life.
Yeah.
So when we start talking about reaching souls and what God's doing through that and how wonderful that is, and all that's absolutely true and wonderful, but man, he's working through flawed and beat up people and people that have gone through some junk. But I've just seen him prove his faithfulness over and over and over again. And I should say, you know, my son who passed, and his name is Cannon, and he knew the Lord, but a lot of times from a distance.
Okay.
You know, and always kind of battled this darkness that kind of hovered him, even though he believed.
Yeah.
And so I know that wasn't God's will for him to go out like he did. I do believe God allowed that to happen as an act of mercy on my son's life in that moment.
Okay.
And I'm pretty excited about seeing him again one day.
I can imagine.
You know? So anyway, that's the intro into who I am.
Yeah. So you mentioned going to Africa. I'm going to presume that was probably a mission trip or something similar.
Yeah.
So, and was that the catalyst for you getting involved in missions, or was it a longer journey than that, or kind of how did you go from?
Yeah, it's a great question. So when you talk about missions and the ministry Reaching Souls, which I have the privilege to serve at, that is the only place I have served at. Okay. In missions. And so Reaching Souls was founded by a man named Jimmy Hodges.
Okay.
And Jimmy went to be with the Lord in 2013. But Jimmy was my dad's youth pastor way back when.
Okay.
I taught my dad to be a soul winner when my dad was 14, 15, 16 years old. And my dad went on to become an entrepreneur. He was in the oil and gas business. Jimmy went into full-time evangelism. They didn't see each other for many, many years. Till I was a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
And the Lord reconnected them. And Jimmy was about to take a team to Africa in 1986. Mm-hmm. And they were going to do a pastor's training conference. And he'd been going to Africa for since 72.
Okay.
And had been praying for many, many years mm-hmm. that the Lord would reveal to him the most fruitful ministry format for souls. I mean, he was a major soul winner, you know.
Okay.
I mean, he was a guy that, you know, you're not at the restaurant for 2 minutes before he knows
right.
if the person who's helping you knows the Lord or not.
Right.
You know, that's just who he was. It was just natural to him. And he did it out of obedience. Okay. But my dad went on that trip with him and came back, and the whole trajectory of our family just changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so my dad came back and sold his oil and gas business. Went to work with Jimmy in the ministry. It was called Jimmy Hodges Ministries then.
Okay.
And that's who I went with.
Yep.
And when I was 21 on that first mission trip, left a big part of our heart there,
mm-hmm.
came back, finished university, went into business, did that for about 6 years. Jimmy had asked me a couple of times during that time, because we were involved, you know, financially and all that with sure. the ministry,
yeah.
if I'd be interested in coming to work for the ministry in a fundraising, you know, component,
okay.
development component.
Yeah.
And a couple of times I was like, no, thank you. I mean, you know, we love the ministry, but we're not interested in that.
Right.
And at a time, just like God does, that absolutely makes no sense in the world's eyes. Mm-hmm. We had our second child.
Okay.
My wife quit her school teaching job to stay home with the kid.
Mm-hmm.
We built a house. And so we stretched ourselves into this mortgage. And so you got one income, two kids, you know, the new mortgage, all within 6 months.
Wow.
And I'm feeling this. It's a call, but I didn't know what it was at the time,
okay.
you know,
yeah.
but this desire to be more involved in ministry. And I was already teaching juniors and seniors in high school and all that at church and
okay.
trying to figure out what that means.
Right.
When Jimmy Hodges calls me again and says, hey, would you be interested in going to lunch one more time
okay.
to talk about this thing? And this time I said, yes.
Okay.
You know, I said, yes, maybe yep. this is what we're supposed to do. And so we go to the lunch and he explains the job. And how much less they would be able to pay us than what we were making, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah. Right?
Very convincing.
Yeah.
You know? And so I have a conversation that evening with my wife in the house that we still live in now,
okay.
25, 7 years later.
Oh.
And we're talking about the possibilities. And she says to me, if we go to work there for 1 year
mm-hmm.
and then quit, you know, it doesn't work right. out after that, we'll be a part of something more eternally significant than a lifetime outside of there.
Sure.
I mean, talking about a challenge. You
yeah,
know,
right.
You're right. You know, yeah. you're right. You know?
Yeah. So, some wisdom.
Anyway, some wisdom. So we jumped in. That was back in 1997. And the Lord's brought us through several different roles there over time. And since 2009, I've been able to serve as the CEO.
Wonderful. Yeah. So a little side curiosity, have any of your kids followed you in ministry or gotten involved with Reaching Souls or what's
yeah,
that
look like? Yeah, thank you. That's a great question. All of them have been to Africa with us.
Okay.
Some with some other countries too, but I started that as an early age so they could see what most of the world looks like.
Yeah.
And learn to be a soul winner as a young person in a hot spot for evangelism where people are responding.
Okay.
And so that's so encouraging, right?
And
so you see people coming to Christ, then you can come back to work in a harder area.
Sure.
And at least you've had practice, you're better at it, your faith is strong, you're used to handling objections, but you've also seen some success.
Right.
And you see what most of the world looks like before you're making most of your major life decisions. And so we thought that was important. And so because of our position, we were able to do that. And I'm very grateful for that. One of my sons came to work for the ministry full time
okay.
right after he graduated in 2022. Yep. 2 o'clock on a Saturday from Oklahoma Baptist University. 2 o'clock on Sunday, the very next day, I had him on a plane to Uganda.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. It,
nothing like jumping right in.
That's it. You know, and he's traveling 200, 250 days a year. And so he's gone a lot.
Okay.
And doing some of the things that I can't do anymore. And you know, you need young leaders coming up anyway. So it's a privilege to have him and labor alongside him for sure.
Yeah, that's so encouraging to hear that. I love to hear that. So yeah, fantastic. Good. Well, I'd like to open up the opportunity for you to share about Reaching Souls International. Obviously, we got a little bit of a taste of it, but I know it's got a fairly unique model, or at least, not a super common model. Tell us about kind of the vision, the focus, but also, you know, the mechanics, how you actually go about pursuing that vision.
Great. Love to talk about it. One thing you'll see, and you probably have that in front of you, John, is when we start talking about reaching souls, I start talking about strategic evangelism. Right. And I tie those two together with the mission of our ministry, which is to reach the maximum number of people for Christ in the least amount of time in the most efficient way. Okay. And so that sounds like this huge, wonderful tagline, but it really, it forms everything that we do. Okay. All the decisions that we make and how we prioritize our resources and where we're going to invest and all of that. Okay. Is reaching that maximum number. And we'll talk about numbers in a little bit, but numbers are real important to us.
Sure.
Because everybody's important, you know, so we count the fruit. Yep. Right. And that helps us allocate resources and all that kind of stuff. But that's the whole thing. But being strategic about it, I'm a super practical, pragmatic guy.
Okay.
And okay, you ever play a game with people that just want to play for fun? You know, let's just not keep score. I'm totally keeping score. That is not me. Okay. And so very pragmatic. If we've been called to reach souls, how can we do that in the most effective way? If we're just going to do it in a way that makes us feel good and enjoy going to travel around, but we're not seeing fruit, I'd rather go do something else, you know? And so when I talk about strategic evangelism, I'm talking about being super intentional. Sometimes believers are more in love with the idea of reaching the lost for Christ than they are with actually reaching the lost for Christ.
Right.
Okay. And so we like to talk about it. We know we're supposed to do it, and we can do lots of good things for people around the world as believers. But most of us are not real serious about reaching people for Christ. Mm-hmm. Can I just say that?
I think that's valid enough to be true.
Okay.
Right. Definitely.
So when it comes to reaching people for Christ, there's literally no time to waste, you know? And so at reaching souls at this ministry, we work strategically, swiftly. We invest in local, national evangelists, indigenous evangelists to reach their own people for Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I've got a great respect for foreign missionaries. They make sacrifices that most people don't.
Right.
And I do believe that we still need to send to certain parts in the world. But ultimately, if you're serious about it, the only way to win the whole world, like at scale, is you have to work through nationals to reach their own people.
Yeah. Okay?
So the local leaders, they know where all the dirt roads are.
Yeah.
They know who all the dirt roads lead to, right? They don't win them and forget them. They live life with them. Mm-hmm. And so the most successful method we found for reaching the lost is to find a local evangelist who's already doing the work of evangelism, but with some help could do so much more.
Sure.
Okay? Yeah. So they've got that fire in their belly that I don't put it, you know, God's put that in them,
right?
To go and preach the gospel, but they struggle. They're in the poorest parts of the world. They struggle between farming so their family can eat and this burning desire to go reach the lost for Christ. And so they're part-time evangelists, but with some help, some financial help, with some tools, with some training, they can put down the shovel and they go pick up their Bible full time and be a full time evangelist. And that's when you see more people come to Christ than you were seeing before. That's the increase, you know, the lift. And that's what we're all about. And so we support national evangelists. We call them national missionaries, and they serve without language barriers, cultural barriers, travel barriers. They don't need a passport. You know, they just walk out their front door.
Yeah.
And because our resources are scarce, you got to prioritize their use. Mm-hmm. For the purpose of fulfilling the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. And so that's our method.
Right.
Because we think that's how you reach the most in the least amount of time and the most efficient way. Does that make sense?
It does. I love it. Yeah.
I'm talking 100 miles an hour because I get excited about it.
That's great. Hopefully the listeners can listen 100 miles an hour. So that's all good.
I'm going to pause my conversation with Dustin here. And I hope that you'll tune back in for the next part of my chat with him, which will be available next week. So thank you again for your listening to this little podcast. I pray it's been an encouragement and a blessing in your life.
Find us online at missionchats.com.